past three, and Kieran Beefy Blake is in the studio. Good afternoon, sir.
Afternoon, Kev. How are you been today?
I'm good today.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm good.
Are you looking forward to the tennis final tonight? A bit of a rollback to 2005?
I'll be listening to it in the car because I'm driving down the beach. But yeah, it is funny, isn't it? You couldn't have scripted that.
And no.
I kept saying to Brett and all the boys during the week, could Roger win this? And they all said the same thing. Yeah, of course he could, but he won't.
Yeah,
Could Raf win it? Yeah, of course he could, but he won't.
Yep.
Well, one of them is.
Well, that's right. It is now. You just wonder how that five-setter is going to take the legs out of these old boys. Obviously...
Rog was easy. It's an easier game than...
Yeah, exactly. And obviously, Rafa was a day later as well. So whether that's going to tell these guys... I mean, they're obviously still trained. They're still elite athletes at the top of their game.
They're not 55.
That's exactly right. I mean, 35. I've heard so much these last couple of weeks about the old boys and everything. I mean, it is a younger man's game, but these guys, you know, they've got the court guile and everything else, so, and they're in the final.
Well, I did a Kevin Bartlett show during the week, and actually my take during the week was that it's no longer... Last year was the year of the underdog.
Yep.
This year is the year of the old dog.
Nice. Like that.
All the old
like
dogs. That. Serena, an old dog. Venus, an older dog.
Yep.
Tom Brady.
Yes.
39 years of age.
Yeah.
You've got Rafa just gets in. He's just over 30. But Roger's over 30.
No, so I like that.
A lot of the old dogs coming out
to do
the business. Now, what have you been up to this week? Anything?
Not too much, to be honest.
Hang on, what do you got? We worked out last week. He's done 365 days of sport, and he's got 365 T-shirts. Now, we've got the Wiseacre.
This is Wiseacre. They were an old ska band in Brisbane, and all my friends listening in Brisbane will remember Wiseacre, but never really broke onto the scene too much, and
that's a ska band.
We love our ska bands. But today you're talking about music, Kev. We're going to talk about the FA Cup as well. So in honor of Wolverhampton Wanderers win over Liverpool, yes, you heard that right, Wolverhampton Wanderers win over Liverpool, all our kind of musical side things today are going to be from Wolverhampton, just outside Birmingham, so there'll be a few surprises.
Flicking around pottering around last night late, and it was 1-0. I thought 1-0 after about like a minute or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, early doors, yeah.
And then I thought, okay, and then I came back and flicked it on again later on, and it was 2-0, and I thought, hang on.
Unbelievable.
The LIV can't be Liverpool. And then I'm looking at the shirts going, no, they're Liverpool shirts, and that's Wolverhampton Wanderers. They haven't won anything since Dave Mackay was running around playing for
since
them.
Since Emlyn Hughes defected from Liverpool to Wolves in the mid-80s. So,
that's right, he did too.
Yeah.
He did too. Yep.
And a very famous win, Wolves over Liverpool, I think, in the League Cup final. I think must have been 86 or something.
It
might have been a semi-final, actually, instead of a final,
there you go.
But obviously, Liverpool have struggled a little bit in 2017. I don't think they've even got a win on a board in the whole of January. So when they lost to Southampton in the League Cup semi-final this week, so they're not even going to Wembley.
You're not saying that with a lot of... there's not a lot of care in there from your point of view, are you?
Well,
as
our listeners will know, I am a staunch Newport County fan who are...
Where's Newport County?
Well, we are 92nd out of 92 at the moment. But good news for all you Newport County fans, and we'll all celebrate because we finally got a win last night. So we beat Hartlepool at home 3-1, convincing 3-1 win.
Hartlepool.
So we're clawing that back. And for people that don't really follow football too much, especially in the UK, if you come in the bottom two of League Two, you actually get kicked out the league.
Right.
So you go into non-league mediocrity.
Yep.
And now Newport County, we're in...
That is the pub leagues, isn't it?
Well, essentially, yeah. Semi-professional type.
It's the pub leagues.
Yeah. It's your VAFA type stuff.
It's blokes who drink schooners and play sport.
Yeah. Type deals in front of, 200, 300 people. But
who are drinking.
Who are drinking. Who enjoy their alcohol consumption. Put it that way. So we were... Newport County were in non-league mediocrity for 25 years. And we finally got back in the leagues. So we've been in the League Two for a couple of years now. So what you don't realise sometimes is you get paid... Sky money and Premier League money gets funneled back to the lower clubs.
Oh, does it?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So if you're in League Two, you get £600,000 to try and help run your club on an annual basis from TV money. If you drop out of the leagues, you get £60,000. So there is a massive, massive gap, and hence why you do not want to come in 91st or 92nd, the bottom two places of League Two. It is huge. So it's like when you drop out of the Premier League to the Championship, you go from 20 million, or 200 million, back to 60 or 80 million, plus there's a parachute payment to help you. Because don't forget, contracts of all these players are made over 1 year, 2 year basis. So if you get relegated, you still have to pay them the league above's kind of salary.
Okay.
And that kills you. And hence why there's parachute payments and everything else to help you establish yourself, because the TV money is not there.
That's ridiculous money, isn't
it? It's huge money, especially when you're a fully professional club, but dropping to semi-professional with people, with, you know, players on contracts, you know, you just can't handle it. So, it's a massive jump. So once you're in the bottom two of League Two, you are desperate to get out, and you will throw all resources in there to really get out of those two. So having us get that win, we are very, very good. So long way to go. Still 24 games to go. So,
off the SMS, someone wants to know if Chelsea won. Is that, were they playing over?
Chelsea did win. Actually, I can run through the results for you. So Blackburn 2, Blackpool 0. Burnley beat Bristol City 2-0. Chelsea beat Brentford in the All London Derby 4-0. Crystal Palace lost at home to Man City 3-0. Middlesbrough knocked over the might of Accrington Stanley 1-0. Rochdale lost 4-0 at home to Huddersfield. Southampton, who put out a very weak team, got smashed 5-0 at home to Arsenal. But here's the surprises. Lincoln City of the conference, so that's your non-league conference, they knocked over championship leaders Brighton 3-1.
Really?
So that's three divisions apart. Wolves, as we talked about, who are 18th in the championship, knocked over Liverpool 2-1, who are fourth in the Premier League. Oxford United, who are in League One, beat Newcastle. United, who are second in the championship, they knocked them over 3-0. Benitez did make 11 changes, apparently. So, and then Wycombe Wanderers, who are in League Two, same as Newport County, they were actually leading 3-2 over Spurs with a minute to go.
Spurs won.
Yeah, lost 4-3.
Yeah.
So Spurs scored in the 90th and the 7th minute of injury time. They were 2 up at half time as well, Wycombe. So, so that's the first time as well. Lincoln City, that's the first time into the last 16.
The real teams aren't taken that terribly seriously? Or
well...
Has it not got the grandeur it once had? The
A little bit like that. They put Premier League kind of status above everything else.
That's a pity.
It's huge. But these upsets prove the FA Cup is alive. So there's four games tonight. Millwall of League One have got Watford of the Premier League. Fulham at home to Hull. Sutton United also in the conference. They host Leeds, who are going really well under Gary Monk. They're up to fourth in the Championship now. Leeds, with a bullet, probably going to get promoted again up to the Premier League. And then the last game of the FA Cup, fourth round, Man United are hosting Wigan, local derby. So Man United 6th in the Premier League against Wigan, who are 22nd in the Championship. So, FA Cup, it's fantastic, but it's got to have some grandeur. And it's still the best thing, and I've talked to BP about this before. Newport County were playing Plymouth Argyle in a replay in the second round. So they did the draw between the main game and the replay. The winner was drawn a Liverpool away. Now, in the FA Cup, you get prize money for each round, but you also get 45% share of the gate money. So if you play Manchester United or Chelsea away and Arsenal, so 60,000 at 80 quid a time, you're going to put £500,000 in the bank. So when clubs are struggling to survive, you've got Morecambe and Notts County in the lower leagues at the minute facing liquidation and administration because of money troubles. They're a godsend. You know, plus TV money. That Liverpool game that Plymouth ended up playing, they got £145,000 just on TV money, just for being live.
Is the FA Cup a pool money for TV, or is it individual money for
each
game?
For each game. There is certain amounts, and the TV money actually gets put into the prize fund. So the further you progress, the more prize money you get through the TV money. Yep. But that, if you get shown live on TV, there is an appearance fee, essentially. So that Liverpool-Plymouth game, like I said, on the Sunday, you got £144,000 just for being live on TV. So these FA Cup games are an absolute godsend for the lower clubs. Yeah. You're desperate to get in that third round and get a replay or get the big clubs.
And that's what it should be, and that's what we're trying to build the FFA Cup here.
That's exactly right. And I think that some of the results this year, Redlands beating Adelaide United in the first main round is superb. But the FFA Cup gives the clubs in, Victorian State League 6.
Green Gully and all those things.
Well, even the lower clubs, it's a defined pathway to get into that last 32 where you're playing against the A-League clubs and everything else. And, it's fantastic. And they've just got to tweak the final side of things a little bit more, because obviously I think Melbourne City only got 14,000 to the FFA Cup final, yep. which is a bit tough. And, you know, I went to the Bentley games, and, you know, when they played Perth in the semi-final, they got the sellout. There was a sellout this year when they played Victory. So, oh, it's great for those clubs to put that. And give them that national exposure on Foxtel. So,
yeah, no, it's good.
No, I really do. I hope everyone kind of sees it for what it is, and an opportunity to get guys actually... You know, the number of guys that are actually being signed off the back of FA Cup displays onto A-League rosters has been phenomenal. So it can only continue that way.
Yeah, and I hope the FA Cup in England gets back to its glory days at some stage too. Now, someone's asked me off the SMS, he's in the Bourke Street Mall and his phone's saying it's 30 degrees. Where did I get the 23 from? I said at 3 o'clock. Off the Bureau of Meteorology website. Because they apparently take the temperature in the shade, not in the sun. Oh. So your phone's probably in the sun. Where is Scunthorpe? And who do you think will come up or go down? Where is Scunthorpe? Good question.
Well,
Dean.
Scunthorpe is in Yorkshire. England. Yeah, on the coast. I'm wondering if Dean is thinking that whether they might go up or down. I'm just checking League 2. I'm pretty sure they're in League 2. No, I think
is that where Ian Botham played?
That is exactly where Ian Botham played. Yeah, that's when he
were
was
they
a
like
dual.
A third division club or something.
They
like
are
that in
top
those days?
Of League One, Scunthorpe. They've won their last three. They won last night. So yeah, they're 8 points clear of the playoffs. So
Beefy would be their number one ticket holder, wouldn't he?
Yeah, you would have thought so. I'm not quite sure who's kind of playing for Scunthorpe. Obviously, Peter Shilton back in the old days. He was Scunthorpe boy.
Oh, he was too. Yeah, the goalkeeper.
So, yeah. England's record caps holder. So, Dean, in terms of that, I think they'll go up by the look of it. Look at their last few results. But that League One is an amazing league because, I mean, Sheffield United...
No, hang on, what does that do with that?
So you got Premier League,
yeah.
Championship, League One, League Two, okay. And then Conference non-league.
So third division in the old school.
I'd love to. Newport County were perennial Division Four. So, in the old days, the third tier, as we like to say now. But you've got Sheffield United, Bolton Wanderers, Bradford City... Millwall, Charlton, AFC Wimbledon, who obviously were Premier League Wimbledon when they were, they're all ex-Premier League clubs playing in that tier. So it's a tough league to get out of, even though two go up automatically and you get the playoff final at Wembley if you can get there. But four go down from that league, so that's Bury, Chesterfield, Oldham, another Premier League team, and Coventry City, another Premier League team. Two out of the four getting relegated from League One and probably be down there. And in League Two, we've got Blackpool down there as well. So, amazing.
Now, we've got a couple of special guests coming up during this hour. Just allude to them.
Just allude to them, I should say. Yeah. So, foot golf, allegedly the fastest growing sport in the world. It's the combination of golf and soccer. So if you're not very good at golf, but you can kick a ball, this is for you.
Could they not have come up with a better name than foot golf?
Well, it does exactly what it says on the tin, I suppose. It's golf, but it's football, yeah.
Foot golf.
I've got a few stories, actually. I went to a foot golf tournament in Houston. Now, there's a lot of...
Oh, you did
not. No, I did. The Houston Open.
Just make this stuff up. Seriously.
Yeah. They've got a lot of...
Houston where the Super Bowl 51
Yeah, that's exactly
be.
Right. There's a Houston right. tie-in, yeah.
Yeah.
So they've got a lot of Latino population in Houston that have no interest in golf.
Pre-wall.
Basically, pre-wall. Yeah. And some of them will be shipped out very soon, apparently. So in terms of that, they've got a lot of council-owned golf courses that don't attract very many people. Now, Houston is a growing population, and mainly through the Latino influx.
Yep.
So they've kind of embraced foot golf and bringing foot golf into these golf courses to try and use this huge green space that is going to waste.
Makes sense.
So the day we went to the Houston Open foot golf, they only had about 50 registered, but 150 more people turned up to play. Now, they haven't had 200 people at that golf course for God knows how long. So all of a sudden, they have an extra use for this. So they are having to embrace foot golf to try and get foot traffic through.
So hang on, who had the 50 turned up to play what sort of golf?
Well, they only had 50 pre-registered for this foot golf tournament.
Oh, foot golf
but
tournament.
when they opened the doors to say, oh, we're going to play, 150 more people just rocked up, and then they had to cut it off because they couldn't actually get any more people in. So we're going to actually talk to the president, Leonardo, of Foot Golf Australia.
Okay.
So they've now got, I think, 10 or 12 courses that are embracing foot golf. But I can see Australia having kind of the same issue that Houston has, where not necessarily council-owned courses, but trying to get more use out of courses that have this huge green space that aren't getting used probably as much as they can.
Okay.
Yeah, so it'd be great to get their take on things.
All right. Now, Dave in Mount Waverley's given us a buzz on 94291116, wants to talk some soccer. Hi, Dave.
Yeah, g'day, boys.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, just a comment on the Scunthorpe United issue. I just wanted to... I felt obliged to correct you, fellas. It was actually Ray Clements that played for Scunthorpe.
Oh, sorry. Thanks for that, Dave.
No worries. It's part of a question, a bit of trivia. There were three English captains that played for Scunthorpe United. Yep. Do you know who they were?
Well, obviously, Ray Clements and Ian Botham. I don't know who the other one is.
The legendary Kevin Keegan.
Oh, there you go.
Came from Doncaster Rovers as a 17-year-old, and yep. I saw his first game.
Very good. Beautiful. Trivia question. That one. Like that one, Dave.
Nice, Dave. Yeah. And are you actually a Scunthorpe fan, Dave?
I'm a Scunthorpe boy. I was born and bred there.
Beautiful. Magic.
It sounds like...
So up the iron, they might be back up into what used to be the third division.
Sorry, up the what?
Up the iron.
Up the iron.
Yeah.
The iron is the nickname.
Yes.
Why are they called the irons?
They're a steelworks town.
There you go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they're top of League One. So and they're eight points clear of the playoffs. So they're looking good.
Well. Going real well. So I hope they keep it up.
Dave, we talk about money a lot with soccer. Have Scunthorpe got the resources to compete in the championship if they got promoted?
Probably unlikely. I mean, a lot of it I think comes down to, and I haven't been to a game there for years. I've been in Australia for 30 years now, but the bottom line is they need the gate receipts from the local derbies, and you know, with teams in other leagues, it's always hard to do that. And the capacity of the ground's probably not much more than about 7,000 or 8,000.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
So they'd need a new stadium. They'd need a lot of things to go right, but they're not a bad side this year.
Yeah. Have they got a benefactor on board that does fund the club?
Not to my knowledge. I'm not aware. I'm not really fully up to speed on what's going on at the minute. I've paid a bit more attention recently because they're doing well, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, they need an awful lot of things to go right, but it was great to hear you guys having a quick chat about them.
Oh, no, like I said, I'm a Newport Candy fan, so I follow the lower leagues quite intensively sometimes for no good reason, really.
Thanks for your call, Dave. Up the iron.
No worries. All right, boys. See ya.
Beautiful.
Good on you, Dave. Thanks for your call. Now, to the break, a little bit of this Wolves music.
Yes.
All right. Here we go. No.
Behind movie scenes, behind the movie scenes. Sadi Rani, she's the one that keeps the dream alive. From the morning past the evening to the end of the life. Putting a pool of Asher on the 45.
Play Slade songs on here all day.
Well, there you go, Slade. One of the most famous Wolverhampton exports.
Oh, they were from Wolverhampton, didn't
yeah.
they?
Yeah. Noddy Holder.
Noddy Holder, Dave Hill, Dave Lee, Jimmy Lee?
Possibly.
Jimmy Lee?
It's a little bit before my time, Kev, I'll be honest. Oh, I'm a big Slade fan, though. I love Slade.
First concert I ever went to. First international band concert I went to at Lang Park, Suncorp Stadium in Brisbane. Slade, Status Quo. Caravan and Lindisfarne.
Oh, Fog on the Tyne's all mine.
Fog on the Tyne!
Lady That's Eleanor, fantastic. Yes. No. So going into the break, we had, what do we have, Babylon 5, I think, or something ridiculous. Yes.
Corner Shop,
Brimful of Asher, that's right. So, yeah, another Wolverhampton band. And just in honour of Wolverhampton Wanderers knocking over Liverpool in the FA Cup.
Why not?
Why not, indeed?
Now, Liverpool fans are incredibly weird. What, 97,000 of them at the MCG?
They'd be
singing.
They'd be devastated
right
now. They'd
be shattered, I would have thought.
Absolutely. This January, for them, absolutely killed them. They should have knocked over Man United. They got done when they were one up, and they should have been two up, and they knocked that over. I think their best result of the January is a 2-2 draw against Tony Pulis's West Brom. You know, they knocked out the League Cup semi-final. So,
You're taking way too much delight in this. Taunting Liverpool supporters is a special skill, isn't it?
Well, it is. You've got to be very careful. They've got a reputation. But I'll be honest with you. When I was 3 or 4, I used to love Kevin Keegan. We just talked about Kevin Keegan from Scunthorpe. And, I used to love him growing up. I think they were my first words my dad told me. I used to kick around the ball in the gun. When I scored, it was Keegan! So,
they're a very good side to watch Liverpool.
They are 70s of these. They're fantastic. Emlyn
Hughes, you mentioned before.
Yeah.
He just classically beautiful poised, yeah, balanced player. Oh, Kenny Dalglish.
Well, probably one of the best number sevens of all time, to be completely honest. But Souness.
What was the left hander, the left footer, Ray? What was his name? Ray something.
Ray Houghton in the 80s, Irish guy. Ray Whelan.
No. He'll come to me.
Yep. So Alan Hansen and
they all had perfect hair. Just about they were rock stars.
Oh, they were. They were early 80s
rock stars.
Yep. I mean, song. Ian Rush and so I've talked about being Newport County's, you know, biggest fan as well. John Aldridge. Newport County actually discovered John Aldridge and got him into the leagues, and he went on to play. He's a Liverpool legend, Liverpool boy, to be honest. But I mean, one guy actually keeps in touch with everyone, and I think all the Liverpool fans revere John Aldridge just because he was a local lad and everything else.
Who was the tall Welsh bloke who played striker for him?
Ian Rush.
No, the other one.
John Toshack?
No, John Toshack.
In the 70s, yeah, yes. Fantastic, brilliant.
He was good too.
He was awesome.
He was very good.
So late 70s, they were different class, and they took that through the 80s, and since about 85, they haven't really done too much else apart from win the European Cup, obviously.
Well, it's been not as fruitful as it was.
In
the 70s and that. But they're one of those. Are they Man United are the English team that everyone hates.
Yes.
Yeah. So would they be second, or would Arsenal?
I think the advent of money. I think Chelsea's probably up there nowadays because of the money aspect of things, and they've been gifted as you know, everything. And I think the fact that, you know, they've won titles off the back of massive investment from Roman Abramovich hasn't helped. I mean, Arsenal are regularly scolded for, you know, perennial runners up and coming third and fourth. But, you know, there you go. Arsene Wenger's been there, 20 years or so now, which is just astounding in modern football now to have these long-running managers. If you do 2 or 3 years, you've been there. You know, you've done a lifetime at a club, which is amazing.
Has the change in the setup for watching it thrown a speed hump for you in following it this year?
In terms of the Premier League, kind of, possibly not. I mean, whereas when it was on Foxtel, you could pick and choose your games on the red button and everything else. So, yep. You know, I have to admit, I'm a bit of a streamer. If I want to see a particular game in the Premier League, especially Swansea games and things like that, where there's Welsh players, you know, I will stream the games. So it just depends, but it doesn't really kind of change my viewing habits, I suppose.
And this is one of the reasons why people don't like Liverpool fans, because they're smart, Alex. Does this bloke honestly get paid for his so-called knowledge? We drew, that's probably not how this bloke speaks, 2-2 with David Moyes Sunderland, not Tony Pulis, West Brom. And we've beaten Plymouth 1-0 away from home. We're not winless this month.
I have to apologise for Liverpool knocking over League Two's Plymouth in the FA Cup. I did forget about that result. Sorry.
Sorry, I'm just throwing that ball up in the air for you to knock it down over the net over the other side. Thank you, Rafa.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
John's in Greensboro. Hi, John.
Hey, fellas. Look, I'm going to disagree with you again. Look, Liverpool would have to be the Collingwood of the EPL. I was there a few years ago and was sitting on the stands with a Man City fan, and he actually knew about the pies. He said, yeah, he goes, Liverpool are the, what they call the Collingwood of your AFL, because they don't win any titles, but you're all still going bananas. We don't know what the big fuss is all about. So it just goes to show you, you don't need to, if you're a Collingwood and a Liverpool supporter, you don't need flags and championships to be popular or hated.
Yeah. I think Liverpool probably split that title with Man United as well, to be completely honest. Looking from the outside in, I think you're right. I think that Collingwood kind of simile is on the money.
Is Liverpool Collingwood and is Man United more Hawthorn?
Oh, that's a good call. Do people really dislike Hawthorn now?
Gosh.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, only because of success, only because of the premierships.
If they
hadn't won premierships, no one would care.
Oh, that's exactly right.
And, you know, great players, dynasty of great players, champions of the game, legends of the game, all that sort of stuff. And you look at Man United and you go, thanks very much. Starts at George Best and Nobby Styles and all those and continues on to, you know, modern day players.
Oh, and that's exactly right. And kind of leading up to the mid-80s before Alex Ferguson took over, Man United were essentially, well, I'm not going to say also rans, but, you know, they didn't have the burgeoning trophy cabinet people looked at Liverpool in jealousy of. So you're probably right with that.
And when they did open their trophy cabinet, they didn't need keys to close it because it just stayed open while they put new ones in every 5 seconds.
No, it was exactly right. And from kind of the mid-80s through to kind of, well, you know, now really, Man United have just kept cleaning up trophies, you know, Doesn't matter whether it's FA Cup, league titles, you know, even in Europe, they've picked up a few. But Liverpool fans still hang on to the five European Cups, which is their big thing. So until Man United actually get closer there, which, you know, hopefully they won't. But, yeah, Liverpool fans still hang their hat on that.
So Liverpool, we reckon the Collingwood and Man United are the Hawthorn of the EPL. 22-4 here in 11:60 missing. Another Wolverhampton band.
Yeah, Dexy.
Oh, I'm gone. Where's Wolverhampton?
Just outside Birmingham. Dexy's Midnight Runners.
I'm
Kevin Rowland.
There tomorrow.
Wolverhampton through and through, yeah.
Good band.
Yeah.
Love Dexy.
Gino, that was their other big hit, wasn't it?
Yeah, good song.
Yeah, yeah.
Very good singer, Kevin Rowland. There you go. Oh, we're off to Wolves. Hey.
Hey.
Oh, I'm off the Tottenham bandwagon. I'm back on the Wolves. 22-4, Beefy Blake is in the studio. 365 days of sport. Now, you've mentioned this sport, but we haven't explained what it is.
No.
But it has an Australian foothold, if you pardon the pun. Leonardo Fernandez from the Australian Foot Golf Association is on the line. Hello, Leonardo.
Hi, Biffy. Thanks for having me.
No problem, Leonardo. Good to get you on. You want to tell us a little bit about foot golf and how you're involved?
Sure. So foot golf is a combination of the sports of golf and football, soccer. So you basically play by the rules of golf, but you do that by kicking a soccer ball into a series of bigger holes in a golf course, being the objective of the game to finish the round in the least number of kicks, same as golf.
Yeah. So is it set up the same as golf, like you kick off from the tee and then you go the fairway and take your next one? Now, the question, obviously, there's that, and you mentioned that they're bigger holes. Where is the hole? Is it actually on the green, or is it a net on the green, or what is it?
No, so we use the fairways to place the holes, because we don't need the quality of the golf greens to play foot golf.
Okay.
The fairways are good enough for us. So part of what Foot Golf Australia has been doing for the past 4 years is get golf courses, giving them some help introducing foot golf into their premises. And part of what we do with them is we design the course for them.
Hey, Leonardo, the silly question, I suppose, but do you have to wait for the ball to stop?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah. So, and you don't run. I mean, you can play fast foot golf if you want, or speed foot golf, but the normal foot golf is the same as golf. You kick, you play with other three players, and you wait for everyone to kick. All the balls have to stop, and then you go and have another kick, and so on and so forth.
Yeah. So we see foot golf, and obviously the holes aren't 400, 500 yards. They're you know, about in the range between 100 and say 200 yards, aren't they?
Correct. The longest par fives would be around about 250 meters, because that's long enough to get the ball in the hole in five kicks. So that would be the longest hole we would have.
And it's quite interesting because the foot golf players are now, they're dressing up kind of like old style golfers as well. They're taking the fashions to a whole new field as well, playing
plus
foot golf.
Fours.
Plus fours and Pringle type socks.
Very good.
Yeah, that is something we tried to do as a way of showing golf courses that we are willing to adapt to the dress code and to go by the etiquette and rules of golf courses, because that makes it a lot easier for us to get them involved.
What footwear, Leonardo, are you allowed to wear?
So it's regular sneakers or your futsal shoes. So the football shoes with studs are not allowed. That is the only no-no.
Yeah. So we said to Kev earlier about, I actually went to a big tournament in Houston in Texas, and they constantly told us that foot golf is now the fastest growing sport, mass sport in the world. And obviously, if you start with one or two players and you go to 10,000, it's always going to be that percentage-wise. So how are you seeing the growth in Australia?
So the growth in Australia, we are catching up. There's two ways of measuring the growth. One is number of golf courses, and the other one is number of players. In number of golf courses, we have 17 across the country. We are aiming at having 100 in the next 2 years.
Wow.
When you look at the US, there's 500 plus courses there. The UK, there's more than 200 courses. And then on the player side of things, we have a huge growth in social players, because this is a very easy to play sport. So you have people doing birthday parties and corporate events and box parties. What we are still lagging behind a little bit is on the competitive side, where we're trying to get more and more players engaged in foot golf on a regular basis.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. And what you're seeing is, are you finding this, you know, people that play golf wanting to try something different, or people that soccer wanting to try something different and challenge themselves?
Yeah, I think the usual path is soccer players getting into a golf course and trying this sport as a complementary sport to football. And that is great for golf courses because it brings some new people to the golf.
We talked about foot golf with the Australian foot golf president, Leonardo Fernandez. Hey, Leonardo, what's the reaction been from the golf clubs?
So once we are in a golf club or in a golf course, they've already made that decision, so very welcoming. And in all 17 courses we are around the country, they're very happy. Even courses like Cardinia Beacon Hills, which is near in the Melbourne area, before introducing the sport, some of the members were a little bit hesitant. But after having it and seeing how many young people, new people come to the golf course, they were very happy. We also know that there's some golf courses that will never get on board because they already have all their tee times or all the memberships covered. But there's a huge opportunity for many clubs who are trying to get additional revenue and new people from the community playing in their premises.
Yeah. Now, there is a Foot Golf World Cup. If anyone is interested in taking up foot golf and representing Australia in the Foot Golf World Cup, how would they go about actually getting into the sport? Obviously, you've mentioned Cardinia Hills, Beacon Hills course. You know, that's the only one in Victoria at the moment.
Oh, so there's three in Victoria. That is the one. There's another one in Geelong, Carl Lewis Golf Club, and another one in regional Victoria near Wangaratta.
Fantastic.
Those are the three in Victoria, and there's another one coming near Mildura as well.
Oh, good.
And the best way to go about is to visit our website, which is footgolf.org.au. That is footgolf, one word. That's where you can register for competitions. And next year, I should say 2017, this year, we're going to have a world tour. And we're going to have at least four major events in Australia happening in November with players coming from all over the world to play foot golf here in Australia.
Beautiful.
We're trying to grow that competitive side of the sport. So we definitely would like to give a shout out to anyone who's interested in getting in a new sport. They're going to be very welcome.
Yeah, and the Foot Golf World Cup last year was in Argentina in January, and this year it's in Germany, I think, in June.
So there's a parallel association that they're trying to do another World Cup. The official World Cup was in Argentina last year. And then the next one is going to be in 2020. So it's once every 4 years.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So fantastic, Leonardo.
I just want to say that the World Tour is going to be the yearly competition, the same as in golf or in tennis. You have a tour around the world, and that's going to happen every year.
Yep.
Okay. Footgolf.org.au is the website. Appreciate your time, Leonardo. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for calling.
The Australian foot golf president there, footgolf.org.au. We'll take a break, come back. We're going to talk about disc golf next. Disc golf. Foot golf. Does anyone play golf anymore? Yeah, not one of their better songs, UB40, but I like them.
Yeah,
UB40's the doll form.
Yes, it is. Yeah, that's where they got the name from. The sign-on form to get your doll money. Yeah,
it's your Centrelink payment.
Yes,
go and fill out the UB40 and get back over here.
Indeed.
10 to 4 here on 11:16 SEN. Beefy Blake is the man in the studio with me. 365 days of sport we've conquered. Well, we haven't conquered it, but we talked about foot golf.
We did.
I won't say what the person off the SMS said they think you were saying when you say foot golf.
Yes, indeed. Foot golf. Foot golf.
Yes. I'm actually with him.
Yeah, yeah. Trying to speak a bit slower.
Yes.
But I think, Mick from Hillside, you got a great point about...
Really good point.
Yeah, I mean, where the holes are about, I would say, probably 800 mil across. They're a big bucket, a laundry basket type.
Okay. Yep,
set up.
Yep.
So they put them in the ground.
Is it a normal size soccer ball? Like a
normal size, size five. Yeah. So they do try and put the holes in flatter areas because, like Mick pointed out, if on a hilly course, if you do miss the hole, these balls do roll.
Yeah.
And there's less friction. And like I said, the competition we went to in Houston, it was a new course for them, and they did put a few of the holes on sloping areas, and the balls did roll 50 meters past the hole. It's not good for anyone.
No.
So they do try and find a flat area. And don't forget...
Do they mark a green as such?
They don't really. They do kind of cut the green area.
Well, because
but
in golf, you can mark the ball on the green.
That's exactly right. And to be honest, there's a few intricacies of foot golf that... Because it's a new sport, they're trying to get around. And there's people... have balls for putting and balls for...
No, you can't do that.
Well, this is what
that's
they're trying
Nick
to...
Faldo, he's a
yeah,
cheat.
They try to kind of standardise the rules. And what happened in the World Cup two years ago was the Argentinians were actually deflating their balls for driving.
Tom Brady style,
there, exactly. So they were getting longer distance out of their drives by deflating the balls and pumping them up for certain things. And it was... We were talking about speed... This is some of the issues that they were facing. They're trying to keep foot golf quicker and everything else. But, you know, they were taking it so seriously. They were swapping balls and everything else. So,
honestly.
You're right, because the greens have different rules than fairways and everything else. So, yeah, indeed. So they try and have a green area marked so that you putt and you can't move things around, or you can actually straight align your ball, so to speak, with the hole.
Eventually, I would imagine, there will be, if this takes off, and it looks like it is, there'll be a foot golf ball.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd have your
because
your titleless foot golf ball or whatever it is.
Yeah, indeed. And I know from playing soccer as well, the difference between a Nike ball and an Adidas ball, I mean, they fly different, and, you know, some balls are designed so they can swerve in the air and some balls are designed for distance. So there will be eventually a standardized ball, which, you know, you'll be able to kick straight and, you know, may not get as much loft and everything else. So it may react differently to your boots. So type thing. But it's great to see, you know,
good to see golf courses being used.
That's exactly right.
If there's no one on playing golf, why not use the facility for something else?
And I was saying to you earlier, Kev, this course in Houston, you know, they wouldn't have seen 200 people a month, let alone 200 people in a day. And they were the council were considering closing that course and selling off for housing. You know, so it's good to see foot golf come in and take a hold and possibly even save that green space.
Yeah, that's good.
So it's one bonus about these new sports using new areas and everything else. And councils around Melbourne have huge issues with, say, cricket. You know, you've got 22 blokes using 15,000 square metres for 8 hours on a Saturday and Sunday. And to a council, that's not great use of huge, expansive land.
Well, school areas too. There's schools that sit there during the school holidays and don't get used.
Yeah,
kids leave at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, don't get used. It's silly waste of space, and they're putting in all green areas and all these housing estates and that, which is terrific and should be doing that. But we also should be utilising the areas we actually have.
Yeah, exactly right. Now, you just mentioned Tom Brady there, Kev.
And we've got the NFL boys coming up after
five. Who are you fancying at this early stage?
Patriots?
Patriots
like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah.
No, not really. No, I do. No, I think Brady will win it. I think Atlanta are very good.
Yeah.
Gee, they're good to watch.
Yep.
Not a purist team by any stretch of the imagination.
No, definitely not. No.
Good to watch. Exciting to watch. But I just think Bill Belichick and Tom Brady will find a way to pick apart what Matt Ryan's been doing, and they'll win.
I think what stands out for me a little bit are the two receivers from the Patriots as well, Edelman and Hogan. They have just, this postseason, have just been phenomenal. The way they've turned it on.
Well, didn't they?
And they've dragged massive yards up. And, you know, Brady gets the ball in the precise spots for them to make big yards. But Hogan and Edelman, one, they catch the ball nearly every time. And two, the yards after the catch have been phenomenal.
Yep.
But Atlanta, that double-pronged running backs that they've got, Freeman and Coleman. Absolutely tremendous. So I actually think, I'm actually quite excited. I think this is going to be one of the better Super Bowls we've seen in the past 10 years. It's going to be probably high scoring as well, which would be great.
Well, I think, and I don't get into margins and lines and all that sort of stuff, but I'm hearing 60-odd points is what people are expecting.
I think that's probably, if that's the bookies on the money, they're normally right. Yeah.
They normally take everybody's money. But yeah, if you get a game where it's 60 points and one wins 30, I don't know, 32 to 22 or whatever it is, 55-plus points, that'd be pretty good, I reckon.
Brett from St. Albans, yes, I think I should take on Kev and BP at foot golf. I think we should go and try it out somewhere. Definitely.
Just wondering, what other sports can you mesh together to come up with?
Oh.
Soccer leads itself to a lot of
different
areas.
Yeah, it definitely does. And we've talked to Andrew Ferguson from Disc Golf Australia, where Frisbee into golf. And actually, it's the Australian Open, which is one of the majors on the World Tour, is happening right now in Perth. And
he's not making this up.
I'm not making it up. So Andrew's actually competing in that final round of the major. And it's $25,000 prize money for disc golf. So we talk about foot golf and money in the World Cup and everything else.
So what do you throw the frisbee?
You throw the frisbee. They've got a kind of basket with chains on, so for the holes. Yeah. So you throw the frisbee. If you hit the chains, it sits in the basket. So that's your hole.
Okay.
And the one thing is, you don't have to have a golf course, obviously, for disc golf. You can just put it in a big park.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's proven to be very successful. I know there's a big disc golf course at Templestowe. There's one in Geelong. I think they're looking at Braeside Park down down along Cheltenham Way to build these courses. And it's just utilising these green spaces.
I was going to say, and leave them up and you can run around and do
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Do it whenever you like, yeah.
In fact, Spencer wants to talk about better use of space in Moonee Ponds. Hi, Spencer.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, big fan of the show, actually. But I think it's a really, really great use of space because part of me says this is almost a lazy version of soccer, almost like, I don't know if you remember the movie Basketball from 1998.
Yes. Real Big Fish. We love Real Big Fish.
Exactly, yeah. No, I saw them live in L.A. many years ago. But yeah, no, in all seriousness, Basketball, was followed. People started playing it, but there were no courts actually set up for that layout that they created because it was so unique. It was just kind of kitschy. But I think with these other sports, with disc golf and foot golf, I mean, disc golf's been huge in at least Southern California. You don't really need anything other than the pre-existing land and grass to maybe put in, like you said, a basket for the soccer ball to go into or a few little posts for the frisbee discs to go into. And at a time when we're using space at more and more of a premium, it's nice to see that it can be maintained for actual green space because otherwise it does go away, the dodo. I was raised in New York and we had Central Park, but that was it.
Yeah.
It was a keep off the lawn sort of attitude for most of the year.
No, it's absolutely the case. And golf courses that aren't getting used as much as they possibly can are going to go to housing or they're going to go to industrial use because they're just too expensive to maintain without getting that extra foot traffic through their sites. And the more sports we can see that can utilize kind of, these new spaces or older spaces, in fact, the better it's going to be. So, no, Spencer, you're on the money.
Good on you, Spencer. Thanks for your call. 942-911-16. Your text thoughts, 043-98-1116. You excited about the tennis tonight?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a belter. Yeah, I really do. And it's good to see these guys that kind of made tennis exciting in the mid-2000s, to be completely honest. And they were the two names you always saw. And they, I don't know how many Grand Slam finals they've contested against each other now, but it's great to see them back.
It is good. Who do you win? Who's winning?
Federer. Only through the fact that Rafa had that five-setter on Friday night. I think that's going to be the telling difference.
And I won't talk to you before then. I know you'll be here next Sunday, but who do you like for the Super Bowl?
Falcons.
Ooh.
I think they're going to outscore the Patriots.
Okay.
But I think you're on the money. I think it's going to be 60-plus points. So if you are a gambler, don't follow what I say.
365 Days of Sport. That's the website.
That's the website. Get on board. Actually, we've added a whole load of podcasts to that from our trips around the world. There is loads of stuff there. Interviews, press, whole load of stuff. And get on board. Look at the podcast tab and there's 25 shows there. Very short, so it's lots of fun.
Good stuff. 365 Days of Sport. Beefy Blake, thank you for being with us today.
My pleasure.
Always appreciate your time.